Theorizing that primetime audiences were ready for a new time travel series, NBC and creator Donald Belisario debuted Quantum Leap on March 26, 1989. Starring Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell, the series followed Dr. Sam Beckett for five seasons of time-hopping adventures and vanished. Now, NBC Universal has resurrected the cult series for a new era. Starring Raymond Lee and Caitlin Bassett, the series once again follows a scientist as he leaps through history, making right what once went wrong. But just what is the show getting right and wrong? That's what we'll explore here on... Oh boy.
Oh boy, it's a Quantum Leap podcast. My name is Nate, and with me as a co-host we can all see and hear, it's Brian Martin.
Everybody.
Here it is, mid-season finale.
The mid-season finale. But Nate, have the stakes ever been lower?
Yeah. If you had not prefaced this last week, it really doesn't amount to a whole bunch, does it?
You wouldn't know it to look at it, that's for sure. I'm sure we'll talk about this at length, but it feels like...
We always do.
This episode just happened to be the mid-season finale, and I feel like there's a lot of things that... Or maybe a couple things at play here that are suggesting mid-season course corrections for the writing staff.
Oh, interesting.
You know, we've talked previously. They've got an 18-episode order, right? We still got 10 episodes left this season. I think that might have impacted how this episode played out and where things ended up, but I'm sure we'll get there.
Like maybe where they cut off the season?
Yes, like because this does not, spoilers, play like a mid-season finale. I don't think the cliffhanger of this episode is it's the highest stakes cliffhanger we've seen this season by a long shot.
Right.
I think it's more kind of middling to lower end. And so it's not like this huge last minute revelation that's going to shake up the entire show. I mean, I feel like maybe they think it is, and maybe I'll be proven wrong eventually. But the cliffhanger at the end of this episode doesn't really live up to even last week's with Janice appearing in the final seconds of right. Ben's leap. But again, we'll get to all.
To me, it almost goes all the way around to being uninteresting.
Right.
I
have questions. This definitely does raise questions. And I was thinking about it in the context of what I said a couple weeks ago about maybe when Leaper X was telling Ben, for your own good, if you value your life, stop following me. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe somebody died as a part of this previously that Leaper X is aware of, and he's trying to deter Ben from coming back. But again, we will get to all of that.
Oh, okay.
We are being extraordinarily cryptic about this.
True
because
enough.
We haven't really talked about the episode yet.
Yeah, so who accepted the nudge?
So July 10th, 1996, which I gotta say is very close to the date I started my very first job ever.
No kidding.
In the year of 1996. I have feelings about this year. But Ben... has leaped into, hey, Benjamin is his character's name this week. Winters, who has the dubious nickname of Klepto, which we will learn about later in the episode. Yep. He's a 15-year-old. Let's say he's enrolled at Sierra Youth Academy, which is a school in the middle of a desert, which is also dubious. He leaps in and finds that he's escaping from that facility along with three other classmates. Stacy, Leah, and Roy, all of whom we come to learn have troubling backgrounds. Meanwhile, Magic and Jen get stuck in an elevator. Nate, what did you think of the... of the leap itself?
Okay, we're going to start there.
I think we got to... Let's bury the lead on this one, elevator bit.
We always bury the lead on this show. Well, honestly, if it were just the leap, not a bad story. Interesting characters. I really liked the kids.
Yeah.
Leah especially. Yes. I really found her interesting and a delightful actress. You know, she did such a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed that. You know, if that car crash hadn't been CGI, it would have killed him.
You're not walking away from that shit.
Seriously. One bump on the head. But, you know, it's an inciting incident that gets them off on their path.
I thought for a second when that car crashed, I was like, oh, God, one of them didn't make it. And he's already screwed this leap up. Like, that was the first thought I had. But fortunately, they all survived. And he had plenty of other opportunities to screw the leap up.
Allowing this character to have an imaginary girlfriend that he just speaks to.
Yes.
Was it
yes.
an interesting little twist to his interaction with Addison in this episode? And
yeah, I really love that. And Leah is the character that kind of makes note of it the first time. And she talks to Ben and says, do you have an imaginary friend, too? I used to have a whole family of imaginary friends. And,
right.
And she connects with him in that way. But the real character that explores the imaginary friend aspect in the way that's the most, I don't know, comic reliefy is Roy, who starts asking Ben if his imaginary friend is hot, because why wouldn't she be?
Yeah, like, what else is the point?
Right. Like, why would you have an imaginary friend if she wasn't hot?
Right.
And that's played for some pretty solid laughs.
Yeah,
throughout.
It harkens back to some other Quantum Leap things that they're in my brain, but I'm not sure where. But at the end of this episode, when he's having the discussion with Addison right in front of the other three kids, and they're just watching him talk to nobody. And the yep. uncle interrupts and is sort of like, who's he talking? And he's, hey, don't interrupt him. And the kids say, you know, like, let the kid talk to his imaginary friend because she's helped us out. And
yeah.
they got to know each other and they got to accept this aspect of Ben, the kid.
I think my favorite moment related to the imaginary friend bit was when Leah steps in a hole and breaks her ankle.
Right.
And Ben has to help fashion a splint for her. Addison assists there. And Roy remarks, nice job, imaginary hottie.
Yeah.
And Addison's reply is, it's just nice to be acknowledged. Which, of course, he can't hear. But it's just a great little moment.
Right. And that kind of gets bookended in the 2022 storyline as well.
Yes. Where she is decidedly not a part of most of the proceedings in 2022.
Right. Just to kind of show up at the end there. But
yeah. Yeah.
Interesting little circle they build with her.
Addison's probably the character that makes out the best this week out of our core cast. I think Addison was kind of my MVP for the week.
Okay. Yeah, surprisingly, not a whole lot going on with everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, Ben is great. And one of the things I really love, you mentioned the kids and how sort of endearing the kids are. That's another moment that's kind of played for laughs, because as the kids are debating what they're going to do, their whole plan is to escape from this school. We're not going back. The vehicle they're in crashes, and they decide to walk off through the desert because Leah's uncle has a cabin somewhere out there. Or is it Stacy's uncle?
Stacy had heard of a cabin.
Stacy's aware of a cabin.
She's aware of a cabin that some other kids mentioned when they tried to escape, I think.
Okay, that's it. So Stacy starts leading the kids out to the middle of the desert in July.
Right.
Seems like a terrible idea. And it is, because Ziggy says they're all going to die out there in the desert looking for this cabin. But as these kids are arguing and Ben's trying to talk them out of going and making all these excuses for them to go back. And they're all like, we're not going back. We can't go back. Addison makes a comment.
You wonder why people yell at teenagers.
That's it. You wonder why people yell at teenagers. And that was another really kind of funny moment. But at the same time, these kids, they've got a real hard-edged Breakfast Club kind of quality to them, right? Where they are all kind of bonded in their terminal uniqueness. I don't know. Like, they all have these very real problems and they find solace in each other,
right?
Because of the challenges that they all have.
And they work well together. They can believably be friends.
Yes.
You know? So yeah. they do a good job there.
I'd like to see more of them. Like, when the episode's over, I'm like, I wish we got more with these kids all interacting together.
Yeah, yeah. The 2022 storyline didn't need all that it was given.
Speaking of terminal.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We've had moments in the 2022 storyline that we've questioned the necessity of, I think, in episodes past. Like, did we really need to spend that much time here? And one thing I will hand to this show is that they're always trying to create narratives that have these kind of dual meanings, right? Like, the things that Ben's experiencing on his leap reflect in some way either his experience or the experience of one of the other characters, and they work in tandem with one another, and the theme is kind of the same all the way around, right?
Right, yes.
And the effect of that has been sort of a mixed bag, I think. I think it works best when the events of the leap are sort of informing Ben's memory of his own past, as we've seen with his recollections of his mother in the past couple weeks. And then you've got an episode like this, where the kids come from backgrounds where they have very strained relationships with their parents. And in really a pretty ham-fisted way, Jen, Nate's favorite character on this series, receives a phone call while Project Quantum Leap is going absolutely bonkers.
Now, this is one of the few times that I broke our unspoken rule of do not contact each other about, but when that I texted you, I literally laughed out loud when Jen's phone rang and it said dad and she ignored it.
Yeah.
And I literally began laughing and I couldn't help it. I was like, are you kidding me?
This is what we're doing.
This is what we're doing
this week.
Okay,
you really want to do this? All right, Joe, we'll do it.
I just thought, you've got to be kidding. Just correct me if I'm wrong. We have not heard tale of her father in any respect before now.
There has been no mention of her
mention.
And we'll get to the end of this episode and still have never seen the man.
Right.
Of her family, anything like that. And in this episode, it's just like taken for granted that like she has a lousy relationship with her father.
It's like introduced and resolved in the same episode. Resolved in the sense that she decides to answer the phone. Right.
But completely resolved. Yeah.
But one could argue, well, it's not resolved. They're just opening the door. But the point is, why are they even doing this?
Are we opening a door? I don't feel like this is an open door. I feel like this is a one-off thing. If we ever hear about her father again, I will be shocked. I will be absolutely floored. Like, we might see her out at dinner with him at some point, and it'll be like, oh yeah, remember that time she was stuck in that elevator with Magic and they had that conversation? And that'll be the extent of it. He is not a part of a plot. He is not a part of what's going on with Leaper X and Janice. Like, I don't think there is anything else here.
Yeah, I just, like I said, just started laughing. What are they, like they just don't know what to do with this woman. Maybe she's got an estranged father who's also a con man.
She's going to be like a character hodgepodge. It's like whatever we need, if we're like, well, okay, we've already established Ben's father was an absent figure, so we can't really connect that. Just give Jen a dad. I don't know. You know, like that's kind of where we're at with it.
It's so ridiculous. It was just unreal. I mean,
I was really rooting for it. I was really rooting in the extent that like every time we cut back to 2022 and as we've said, Jen and Magic get stuck in an elevator. They are being observed by Janice in the elevator, who is still in the Project Quantum Leap system. They're trying to track Janice by tracking the energy signature, the energy spike that's being created by her imaging chamber.
Mm-hmm.
They successfully do so, but she also successfully locks down the project. So Magic and Jen are trapped in an elevator for at least three scenes, and they have this conversation about her dad in the midst of those scenes. So every time we cut away from what is a far more entertaining leap,
yes,
we are presented with in the wide open space of the, like, I don't know, Nevada, Arizona desert. We cut to the interior of an
elevator in the most, it even felt like the actors knew this was boring.
Right.
You know,
it's like, hey, just whatever, I'm gonna clock out at the end of the day and we're gonna be good, right?
Like, what is this plot thread of Magic trying to convince Jen to reconnect with her father? Because it's him, like, what? Apparently they have a connection together,
like he knows her dad.
He knows her dad, so, and he's got an eye for a talent, which is why he pulled that hacker off the grid and put her, and then she put on her new mask of stoic cynicism and went into security mode this week, because that's one side of her character. And like,
can you have more than one side to a one-dimensional figure?
It's so weird.
The eternal question of Quantum Leap.
She's more like, I can't tell if she's like one-dimensional or like so dimensional as to have no meaning at all.
Right.
Like, they can't decide what she is. And that's why I just started laughing when that phone rang and it said dad and she hung up on it. I was like, what is this?
All right. What? So my first thought, and again, I was like holding out hope most of the episode that tell me this is going to be more than what it appears to be. We've spoken previously about the 2022 storyline having a very 24 quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this felt like something that would happen in episode of 24, where it's 5 p.m. and all of a sudden a character is getting a call from someone you've never met before, but it's like their ex-husband or an estranged son or something. And that week there's this weird plot line involving this other family member that has to come to CTU and all the, you know, it lasts for maybe an hour or two. And then it turns out that character is like somehow more deeply involved in the plot that's going on. And I was holding out hope for a moment that that's where this was headed.
No, and, I wasn't.
We, with regards to Jen specifically, there's also kind of a part of me that if my 24 instincts are true, then maybe Jen eventually turns out to be some sort of malicious character or a mole or something. Because 24, it was nothing if not a breeding ground for moles. And again, I'm probably just prescribing too much hope onto this. Where that plot line ended up, I was like, oh no, it was exactly what it looked like. And wow, okay.
Yeah. To do this on what you would consider a mid-season finale is inexplicable, honestly. Like, the face of television has changed to the point where...
I don't recognize it anymore.
Okay, let me back up. A mid-season finale is not something that I would have even heard of 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Sure.
Right? Sure. Like, what's a mid-season finale? That's just, you just go into reruns, you know?
Exactly. Like there was never a mid-season finale. It was just like, suddenly you got 6 weeks of reruns and you're like, well, am I getting a new episode sometime soon? And then somewhere during the postseason football games, Fox would be like, this Sunday on an all-new X-Files, you know?
Yeah,
and it's like,
exactly.
Oh, we're back. We're back, baby.
So the whole notion of a mid-season finale is relatively new on the television landscape. Yes. What?
Yes.
15 years? I don't know. I feel like The Walking Dead was probably the first time I really paid attention to it.
I think the idea of reruns, intermittent reruns that kind of bridged the gap, died with 24 and Lost. Like, those were the last shows I remember doing that. And by the time those shows were off the air, they weren't doing that with those shows anymore. Because what the hell does a rerun for Lost mean? I'm just going to show you some random episode from the middle of all of this.
Yeah, right.
It's a byproduct of the serialized focus of television in general, right?
Right.
Like, you can't just pick up a random episode of most shows now and just sit there and watch it 1 week and then get a whole story, right?
Right.
And I think, so is Quantum Leap going into reruns for the next 5 weeks? I don't know. They probably should.
Yeah, well, I saw it on a rerun.
It's a rerun.
Yeah, you know what? There could be something to be said for that, certainly.
Build the audience, rerun some of those early episodes maybe people missed out on.
They're not going to do that, mind you. But
but a show like, you mentioned The Walking Dead, like, that's not something you would see on The Walking Dead. You'll see AMC run an entire marathon on one Sunday where they just plow through the entire series, right?
Yeah.
The scope of television has changed a lot, and the idea of a mid-season finale is a little bit weird. And maybe calling it that just automatically implies larger ramifications than the show might be able to deliver.
Yeah, because one of us was predicting that we'd have Janice for sure, and Martinez back on screen with Janice and Addison, and maybe the four of them all standing together. I forget, one of us said that idea.
I definitely felt like that was a potential outcome for a,
not,
if you
want to
just blow
that,
the doors off the cliffhanger, right? Yeah. Like, this is the way to do it.
They didn't go that way at all.
No, I mean, we get a little bit of Janice, a little new Janice, but it's flashback Janice.
Right.
It's not current Janice, who, in fact, has apparently dismantled her imaging chamber and moved locations now.
Yeah.
That was one of those things that I felt like, oh, this is an 18-episode order byproduct. We got to stall for time now, so let's have Janice move the imaging chamber. We'll revisit this in a few weeks.
But wouldn't this have already been written by the point? I mean, this should have been written and shot by the time they got that announcement, wouldn't you think?
It probably was. I mean, you wouldn't have had to change very much other than that, like, one throwaway line that, like, oh, she's gone now.
Yeah.
You know? Because other than that, I mean, I don't think the episode needed to shift that much. And I think the cliffhanger they leave us on, I feel like maybe they think it's a bigger deal than we do. I don't want to jump straight to the cliffhanger yet.
Okay. Should we try and get back on track with the actual narrative of the story?
Back with the actual leap. The part that was, like, really pretty good.
Yeah, okay. I've got one then.
Go ahead.
Why would the machine decide that this school needs to be shut down? You know what I mean? This is going back to what they said last week about how the Quantum Leap Accelerator and Ziggy are deciding when and where he should leap.
So does the machine, quote unquote, believe that to be the case? Because the only thing Addison provides is that we have to save these kids. And
right.
Ben is the one who's like, no, there's got to be more to it than that. When he starts understanding what their history at this quote unquote school is.
Right.
And I think the word that sort of sets everybody's ears up and puts their hair on end is the box.
Right.
When they start talking about being put in the box, we're like, wait a minute, like in a prison, you mean?
Right.
And as it turns out, yes, exactly like a prison. Like all of these
in
kids
the parking
have,
lot. Like, yeah. When you drive up, there's like rows of these boxes where they just imprison children.
It's not even subtle. No, yeah. It's just like this. It's a whole row of boxes that look like, you know,
it's
just
not
in
the back. It's not, you know,
sweat
it's...
boxes that are isolated, no windows, and they just throw the kids in there for a week.
Right. Are parents visiting this school? I just imagine like prospective parents pulling their undisciplined child up in their station wagon, and they see the row of boxes.
You can always tell in the parking lot. Like, I gotta say, working with kids, engaging with families, I have definitely seen families for whom they would not have visited the school; they just would have sent their kids there.
Yeah, without even looking. Yeah.
And I think if they had been made aware of the presence of the box situation, they would not have batted an eye.
Yeah. Well,
for some of these kids, Roy has substance abuse issues. Leah is gay, and that's her big cardinal sin.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, he's got Asperger's, and he just steals stuff all the time. So off he goes.
Yeah.
What was Stacy's deal? I don't remember what Stacy's problem was.
She was a star athlete, and her mother died, and her father was an alcoholic.
She's a very strong-willed, as Ben identifies, leader.
Yeah, she's the leader.
Type. So, in addition to really liking these kids in this episode, I also like the fact that Addison was so unwilling to leave throughout the entire league. It takes a lot to get her out of that imaging chamber.
Yeah.
This time. And not only because Ben is in a real life or death kind of situation, but also because she was completely unable to access him during the previous leap. Taking that into account, I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. kind of dug that. It was a little subtle.
Yeah, I didn't really pick up on that, but if you mention it, that yeah, that makes sense.
Is at one point Ian says, "I need you to come out of here and get these guys out of that elevator," and she's like, "She's like, no, I can't. I'm not leaving Ben right now." And it's not until they finally reach the cabin of Legend that she even entertains the idea of leaving, but not until they've listened to, I think, the entirety of Tragic Kingdom. Which I mentioned last week, this show is really delivering on the period music.
Right.
This week was no exception. It started again with Blur, and then we get a whole bunch of No Doubt music once they get to the cabin, which makes sense because when I really thought about it, I was like, okay, well, the show that leads into Quantum Leap is The Voice, and Gwen Stefani is a judge on The Voice.
Oh, so, okay.
Just hold your breath, because I'm pretty sure we'll get some Blake Shelton music before the end of the season.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Can't wait for that
one. Yeah. Well, does seem like, given what was going on in the 2022 storyline with Janice breaking into the system again and sending them into lockdown, basically, is what they did, which is why Magic and Jen get stuck in the elevator. Ian was kind of running around with a tablet, kind of screaming at the tablet, and, you know, all the lights are red and flashy. And
they do a great job with what they've got. That's what I would say about Ian this week. Ian does not have a whole lot, but good God, do they do their best with it.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Ian, though, we're a big fan of this character on this show, but I feel like the last 2 weeks, this one and when they were trapped out by the demon, they talked about being really busy, but they weren't really doing anything. You know, they just kind of like either sitting there or walking around with a tablet and not really doing anything.
Around a lot.
Yeah. I don't get a lot of Miles O'Brien out of this Ian. You know, when Miles had a lot to work on, he was always banging his elbow on something, or, you know, he's jammed up in a Jeffrey's tube sweating, and he's got his sleeves rolled up all the time.
There's a world weariness
to
Miles O'Brien that is definitely not present. Like, I mean,
that was a man that was busy,
the first thing I noticed about Ian this week was their hair, and I was like, that hair is amazing, and there is no way you're that busy right now.
And
Miles O'Brien, I'm not sure Miles O'Brien ever washed his hair.
He didn't have time, a family man. He had two kids at home.
Yeah, I mean, he's just getting there. He's getting back to Keiko at the end of the day and just passing out.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, he's probably drinking some whiskey and just passing out. That's O'Brien's.
Right.
I love how that's our benchmark now. It's like, okay, so working people, the benchmark is Miles O'Brien.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Makes sense. As far as like genre programming goes, tell me a better one.
Nope.
Tell me a harder working son of a bitch than Miles O'Brien.
There is none. He's got to keep that space station together, man.
Yeah.
Spitting wire. Interesting. I noticed they have like cutaway scenes of like randos, your Project Quantum Leap red shirts, you know, running to random monitors.
There's more people working here than I thought there were.
Yeah. Well, you would think. The original series, it was basically just Al and Sam. Like, that was project.
Yeah, they were like, and then we actually got to 1999. There's like, what, four other dudes there?
Yeah, you know?
One of whom may or may not work there. I don't know if Donna actually worked at Project Quantum Leap, or she was just like shacking up there because Sam.
I think she worked there.
And I hope she did.
I thought she would. Well, she didn't initially.
Oh, definitely not.
Because
when he left originally, she didn't work.
Right. And then she did. And everybody recognized that as a change that he made.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's everybody's so strange about Quantum Leap time travel. They use the Polaroid.
The Back to the Future Polaroid approach.
Oh, we witnessed that it used to be this, and now it's this way.
Yeah, time alters on behalf of the viewer, not the world in which this is happening, right?
Like, right.
From inside the world, what you're seeing and witnessing doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But as an external viewer who is just trying to follow a narrative, it's really for you. It exists this way and is presented this way for your benefit.
Right. So going back to last week, when we talked about Reddit and the 404 error, so that event that they had been witnessing on the computer never occurred. So it never posted.
They never would have seen the post to begin with.
Right. But they remember it. In fact, the computer, it's still in the address bar, so they typed it in. Right?
Right.
How far-reaching is the effect of a change, and who's privy to it and who isn't?
During the original run of the series, my headcanon again, and I don't know if I've mentioned this in a previous episode, was that the radiation signature of the project itself created some sort of time bubble, and the people that were most heavily exposed to that radiation were somehow exempt from time stream changes. And it was how Al recognized when that courtroom changed around him in Honeymoon Express or things like that. Like, people within the project would be aware that things had changed and what those specific things were, which must be the case because Magic has access to a file that details a history that never happened for him now.
Right.
So even though history was changed, there's still a record of the previous history.
Right.
That's been my headcanon. The people who are involved with Project Quantum Leap are, by virtue of being in close proximity to
the accelerator,
it's like creating some sort of time bubble that exempts them from.
Yeah, I just wondered how far reaching is the effect. It used to drive me nuts when I was watching the old one. It would drive me nuts. And it was that Honeymoon Express episode, whether I saw it in order or not. It was when I saw that episode and realized that, okay, this guy is just sitting in a courtroom that just changed all around him.
Right.
And he's the only one that knows that it happened. This is ridiculous and they don't care. You know? Right. You know what I mean? That's not the point. Don't get yourself caught up in this, is what that told me. And then it's like, and there's so much fun you can have with it if you just say, you know, whatever, to the logic of it all.
There are a lot of little time travel-y moments peppered throughout the show. The one I've always wondered about is in the episode trilogy when Sam sires a daughter in the middle of a leap, we later find out that this daughter ends up working at Project Quantum Leap in some capacity. We never actually see that because, as the finale explains, Sam never made it back home, and neither did we as a result of that.
Donna as well. She was not present, and then suddenly she is. And so for those people working at the project, when she showed up that day, they must be cognizant of the fact that she's only here now because of something Sam did.
They just don't talk about it.
Do they? Or do my guess is that they do talk about it. And they're like, you know, you used to not be here.
Right. Wow, yesterday you weren't here. What do you remember?
Seems like they're trying to play by the same rules, but keep them tighter.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's going to work.
That original series got a pass a lot because of what they didn't show you. They don't show you how Donna becomes a part of the project. It's just sort of left up to you to kind of work your way through or not. You know,
I felt like they got a pass because of what they did show, which is families being reunited, rights being wronged, drama, people's lives. The whole driving force of this show was never the ramifications of time travel. Like, that wasn't the point. You know, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, I feel like. But at the same time, if you're going to play Quantum Leap as a time travel show and get yourself wrapped up in, well, because we did this, maybe we set this in motion. Once you start opening that can of worms with this type of time travel, it's going to get real messy.
Yes.
It's not going to bother me so much. Really?
It's clearly going to bother me. Somebody has to know the answer. The writers have to know the answer. Do they have to share it with us? Not necessarily. But you can weave it in. You can subtly present it in your narrative. You don't have to chalkboard it like Doc Brown.
Right.
But you need to be aware of how this works, specifically so you don't contradict it if you're making a time travel show, which the new Quantum Leap is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. At the same time, again, I'm talking about my headcanon. I'm talking about just no prize shit that I was coming up with.
Yeah.
Trying to explain the rationale behind certain and gloss over it. And that was like, oh, time bubble. That kind of explains everything for me. And so I, in my head, I've been, okay, I'm just going to say that. But the new series may not provide me with that outlet. The new series could theoretically do something that contradicts that entire theory because they're so focused on the mechanics of time travel. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think without saying it, I thought along the same lines as you did. Well, there's something about being in that blue mountain with the lightning. You know what I mean?
We see it at the beginning of every episode. It's got lightning all around it.
Yeah, surely. Yeah.
It seems like the sort of thing that, like, if you were a video game character, you would have to fire, like, 5 shots at it for the lightning to go out so you could go into the cave.
So that
right?
You could go in, right.
So yeah. It says to me, oh, energy field. There's an energy field around this.
There's something going on there. Exactly.
Just there's in the desert, you see this mountain. Oh, that looks fucking normal, doesn't it? No way any time travel shenanigans going on in there, yeah.
I like your theory from a couple of weeks back that that's where the waiting room still is.
Right, it's just some dude out there in the desert.
It's like everybody else has moved their things over to LA or wherever they are now. The hosts are showing up in this mountain in the middle of New Mexico somewhere. It's like, man, I wonder where all the hosts are.
It's a pile of bodies in but, there. None of them ever make it back.
But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've kind of derailed the conversation, but...
Getting back to the leap. Before we started recording, I mentioned that something that happened at the end that I had a question about.
Okay.
People from the Sierra Youth Academy hunt the kids down, find them in this cabin, and Leah sacrifices herself, essentially, to throw them off the scent. Then she's taken back to the facility. The other kids, Stacy and Roy and Ben, decide, we've got to go save her. We can't just leave her there. And Ben's like, wait, we got to do it the right way. We got to bring this whole system down.
Right.
And so back at the facility, they're about to throw Leah in the box. And suddenly an entire news crew pulls up.
Yeah.
And is like filming what's going on. And you find out that that's Leah's uncle.
Yeah.
Did we know her uncle was like a newscaster or something?
She does mention it. Yeah. She does mention it in passing. She brings him up like twice or something. And she's like, well, I know you guys don't like your family, but he's different.
Okay.
And she does mention that he's on the news even or something like that. So, yes, it is mentioned in passing, but I 100% understand why you would be confused because it happens so fast.
It is like very fast. In fact, I was like, you know what this is? This is Deus Ex Media.
That's a good pun.
Yeah. But, oh, that's a good one.
But yeah, like I said, I literally watched it like not 30 minutes ago. And I think the reason it feels so fast is because it comes after a commercial break. So they have a commercial break and then they come back and decide to call. And then the news van shows up. It feels like traditional television. You would make that decision. Oh, we'll call her uncle and then commercial break. And then when
like,
we come
wait,
back,
guys, I've got an idea commercial.
Right. Yeah. But this one, it was like they had a commercial break because she sacrificed herself. And that's where the break was. And then when they came back, they only had X number of minutes left in their episode. And they said, we'll call her uncle. Literally the next scene, the news van's pulling up and it feels super fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had to get to the wrap up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Things wrap up very quickly from there. The kids all stay friends.
Friends for life.
Friends for life, yeah. Stacy runs a casino. Roy opens a halfway house or a
home for boys.
For wayward kids. Leah becomes a rocket scientist. Then I immediately filed that one away. Like, oh, is she going to end up at Project Quantum Leap or something?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Like, she'll just pop up. And then I guess Ben goes back to stealing things. What did Ben do?
I don't recall.
I can't remember if we found out what happened to Benjamin in the years following this. But everybody turned out okay because it's Quantum Leap and we know that.
Right.
And then as the kids are making their final promises to each other to stay in touch. The word promise is kind of a trigger for Ben, and he starts to remember flashes of the past again.
They did a couple of little weird little like triggers to the memory, like like the perfectly circular opening to a pipe being a perfectly circular zero on the board.
Evidently, Janice really good at drawing concentric circles.
Yes.
So there are a lot of little moments in here that bring Ben flashing back to his previous time with Janice.
Right.
And we learn that, once again, as has been implied, certainly last week, that Janice and Ben do not have a remotely antagonistic relationship with one another.
Right.
They have made a pact. Janice prompting him to promise her that he'll see this through. The implication there being that seeing what through, it's going to be the leaping process.
Mm-hmm.
And take whatever actions they have deemed are necessary through all of their vast calculations and drawing of circles. That's just a little bit cryptic, you know?
If what you say is true, what choice do I have?
What choice do I have?
That was her response to him.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Ben recalls the reason he leaped was to save Addison. And that's it. And then he leaps, of course, because every major revelation on this show is followed by Ben leaping
right
to the next thing.
And why not?
That's how you keep him coming back. So what does that mean? Well, I think it's very relevant that we know that Addison was the original leaper. It raises the question again, like, if there is an original history that has been altered already that we are unfamiliar with.
It was a very disappointing revelation.
It doesn't feel like much of a reveal.
Like, everything is about them.
Right.
Okay, we get it. They love each other, you know? But if this whole thing was really just to save her, then it doesn't jive with the very first episode where he left a message on her phone saying, this is so much bigger than us. Remember our first episode?
This is exactly as big as you. That's what you're saying.
Our very first episode, one of my main concerns was that the reason for his leap might be universe saving. We were talking about who's the Thanos of the Quantum Leap universe, who's the big threat that this could all be about.
Yeah, now we're kind of narrowing the focus again. And we've also mentioned, I think, Frequency, right? The Jim Caviezel time travel movie where they were talking over a radio. Have you talked about this one before?
I don't think so.
Like, no. There's a similarity here, too, where it's about saving a family member in a different era thing. It's like, it's a very small scale pseudo time travel. But this ending kind of reminded me more of that. Maybe this isn't some sort of universe smashing event. Maybe this really is as simple as, this is my family and this is, you know, a love story between these two. However, it's entirely possible also that whatever is being put into effect, if, let's say, there exists a timeline where Addison leaked,
mm-hmm.
and then something went
the little caca,
as Al would say, and prompted this sort of actual real world retcon in the Quantum Leap universe of there's a real possibility for like some sort of time paradox here. And this is again getting into like kind of the weeds on time travel and dealing with something that the original series never really wanted to actively deal with.
Right, yeah.
But what if by saving Addison they doom themselves or something like that, and it creates this situation where none of this leaping is possible. And Martinez has to come out here and be like, look, you guys fucked everything up. Just leave it alone. Stop following me. Let me fix everything. And we can go back to just everything will be fine. Just leave me alone. You know,
yeah.
Martinez is the agent in all of this that I'm still most curious about because his intentions are completely unknown.
It seems less likely that he's intertwined with Janice, too.
At this point. Yeah.
At this point.
I agree.
You know, they were tracking the energy signature of her imaging chamber, which apparently she can build one at home that requires a $2.1 billion budget from the Pentagon to run actual Quantum Leap, but she's got one. She's got bargain version in her basement.
Hey, man, if you live close to a Radio Shack, the sky's the limit.
Yeah,
you know? It's like that one Radio Shack that's still out there.
I loved the idea that she was building her own janky imaging chamber or whatever. And I don't like the idea that she's had to dismantle it and move on.
She's just driving down the street with half of an imaging chamber on like one of those flatbeds, like dragging it behind her. It's covered in that tarp like a mobile home.
I was interested in the idea that it might take a season of her actually building it, watching her try and get it to work, you know?
Right. So here's a question for you in that regard. And this kind of goes back to a conversation we had last week.
Okay.
Because I think this episode, not the episode itself, but the recap from last week's episode might have answered a question that we had last week. Why, when Ben leaped in to the exorcism house before he had ingested anything, did he see the demon?
Oh, did you go back and watch to find out whether we both said we would? I didn't,
but the recap from last week's episode is edited to imply that that demon was Janice trying to apparate in the imaging chamber.
Yeah, I noticed that when she finally did become visible, they had like the demon,
the black wisps around her, kind of. Yeah, right. Yeah. But, so I was like, okay, well, maybe the show just explained that for me. And maybe that's a really fucking janky imaging chamber if it's going to make you look like that library ghost from Ghostbusters, you know? But
that's a cool idea, though, that like, okay, well, I don't have the budget of the United States government, but I know how it works and I know what I need. And to make it really work, I've really only got to go this far. You know, something that Miles O'Brien would throw together.
Oh, yeah. So Janice is really clearly the more Miles O'Brien adjacent character.
Yeah, Janice is the, yeah. But yeah, no, I love the idea of like rogue Quantum Leap. I don't love the idea that she drugged her mother.
That's going to be a sore one for a while.
Yeah.
And I think that the moving of her imaging chamber again is just a way for this series to buy itself a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because again, we are working towards something. I think that once we come back from the break, we'll probably see a little less of Janice for a while, maybe even a little less Martinez. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing if they start treating the leaps like we did last week. We minimize the 2022 storyline, amplify the leaps themselves, and just really work on the relationship between Addison and Ben.
Yeah, I think
to, you know, make that the center of the series, then I think the show could kind of find its rhythm a little bit better.
Honestly, I don't know. Since the premiere of this show, we've talked about trying to find the balance. Quantum Leap was all about changing lives for the better, and we need to know these people, and we need to care why Ben is there, and then kind of came to the realization that that's not the focus of this show. Mm-hmm. So much so that it's just kind of glossed over in their prologue.
Yeah, put right what once went wrong does not appear in the prologue for this show.
No.
Get home back to the people that love him and he loves is the focus of the show.
Kind of made note of that this prologue is so dispassionate.
It's very, it lacks the sort of selflessness of the mission statement of the original show. But then what we're presented with at the end of this episode, where Ben's whole objective is to save Addison. Well, that's not exactly a selfless reason to do this, right?
Right.
So it kind of makes a little bit more sense that way, because it's not really about, the leaps are just a means to an end, right? Like, I've got to do this because I've got to get one step closer to saving Addison.
Yeah.
Whereas Beckett, obviously, you know, hoping each leap would be the leap home. You know, it's a great saga sell, but it's like, that's not the ultimate objective. And by the end of the show, it's not Sam's objective either.
Yeah.
Will Ben have a similar revelation? I don't know. I guess we got to get to the point where Addison is either saved or not. And then we determine.
Is it really just saving her, though?
Oh, no.
Do we really? I mean,
surely
like,
not. That's not, you don't make a show. You
it's bigger than them.
A show. Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be. And that's season two, man. The stakes will get gradually higher because that's
so
how
here's a question then. Does when he says, I remember why I leaped, it's to save you. Do you think he really does like fully remember why he decided to do what he's doing? Or is he just remember a piece of it?
I am almost positive it's the second.
Yeah.
He knows he had to save her. He doesn't know why or how he did it.
Right.
Right. That'd be my assumption.
I don't like that that's so inward facing. I really don't.
Like I said, they're getting off on being withholding, Nate.
I mean, I don't like that the story is folding in on itself. Mm-hmm. I want it to expand and go out. When we don't know why he did what he did, there's a forward motion to find something.
Yeah,
you're out, you're searching, yes. You're looking, you're reaching out. Whereas this is more like something that's already close to me needs to be saved. So the story is really all about this little microcosm of my life, and it's smaller.
Yeah, yeah. We are still headed to a specific pinpoint, like, event.
Right, right? In the future.
Right. We're right. still trying to get somewhere. We still don't know what that is. And I think if the writers didn't know what that was at the beginning of the season, I believe they do at this point. I do think maybe early on they were like, we're gonna say it's Sam internally. We'll see if we can get him on the show, whatever. And maybe that plan changed. Maybe it was always kind of whatever it ends up being. I don't know. The breadcrumb approach is going to be our way of life, I think, through this series. And we'll get these tiny little nuggets peppered throughout here and there. And then it'll all hopefully come into focus at the end. I've mentioned Doctor Who before, and I think that that's kind of the mindset I'm coming to this show with, because Doctor Who is a show that most seasons has a dozen episodes that are all, some of them are two-parters, some of them are standalone, but in the final episode of any given year of Doctor Who, all of the elements come together in sort of a surprising and unexpected way.
Hmm.
And I think that's sort of what Quantum Leap's doing. I think that all of the little breadcrumbs are going to come together. Will it turn out to have been a sequential stretch of breadcrumbs, or will it have turned out we got a breadcrumb from over here and then one from way over here and then like that, and then it all kind of pieces together at the end? I'm kind of banking more on the second one, but I do think that like all the little breadcrumbs we're getting are obviously leading towards something, and I hope that something is unexpected.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And I hope it's not as simple, and I don't believe it is as simple. We're not even halfway through season one yet, as I'm just doing this to save Addison.
We made it this far. It's one of these projects where I felt like, oh, we're starting a podcast, huh? Yeah, let's see how many of these we actually record. Well, we've made it to November. This will be putting, what, number 7 in the can.
Yeah, and the show is still going, so we'll keep going, and I like that, yeah. I don't know who I'm more impressed by, this show for getting an extension or us for continuing to do this.
I'd say the latter.
I mean, it is pretty remarkable. We fought some pretty impressive odds over the last few weeks, I think, to keep recording this.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully to everyone's benefit. So while the show's on hiatus, we're going to try and put out a little more content.
Yeah, we're going to do a few bonus episodes between now and I don't know, whenever the hell the show
January 2nd.
Oh, yeah, man, that doesn't feel too far away. That's just like a couple of months. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put together a few episodes of some other Quantum Leap related materials.
If you've been listening since the first episode we did, maybe you've got an inkling of some of the things we might be cooking up.
But, yeah. Get in touch with each other about that off air and come up with some plans for the future. I guess that's all I've got for this episode. Anything more for you?
No, I think we're good.
Surprisingly lackluster.
Before we wrap up here, favorite episode so far, least favorite episode. Nate, we know what your least favorite episode was. No, I'm just assuming, but least favorite.
Okay, I'm going to go least favorite episode. I'm going to go pilot.
Okay.
I know that probably seems surprising, but the Western episode, I mean, it had that bonkers ending. Like, that was the one where Martinez came out of nowhere.
It's the best ending. It's the, still the, I think it's peak cliffhanger. So
yeah, I just about fell out of my chair. So yeah, that can't be worst. I think the first one is probably the worst episode. Favorite episode? Go back through them with me. Let's see. There's Atlantis was the second one. The boxing.
The boxing one. There was the bounty hunter episode.
Okay.
There was the Wild West episode. There was the earthquake episode. There was the ghost episode. And then there was this week's.
Yeah. Probably the earthquake.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree. I think the earthquake episode was probably pound for pound my favorite episode of the show. And it felt the most like Quantum Leap. But I do agree that the pilot was probably the weakest episode.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame because the earthquake episode was in some form the original pilot for the show. That could have been their strongest episode.
When we covered that episode, we mentioned like that's a good place for that story.
Yeah.
So it got its due. It does better where it was. It was just a poor choice in a lot of ways.
It's like that car chase. In a lot of ways, the car chase from the opening scene never ends for that episode. It's just this propulsive narrative that you just kind of have to hang on to, and it sort of drags you along with it.
With a bunch of characters that you never really care too much about, and most of the ones that you're introduced to are bad guys.
So completely unsympathetic characters as well.
That's one of the major problems with it. I remember saying at the time, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, it was like Ben against the bad guys.
Yeah.
It was foiling a jewel heist.
Right.
It's not interesting that we're on the same page. Why don't you choose a different favorite?
So the runner up for my favorite would be last week's exorcism episode.
That's a good one. And I agree in putting those thoughts together. I think it gives me an understanding of why I'm a little deflated by this week's, because it does seem like there was a build. We had the big reveal in the Western, and then we had a really great episode following it. And then we had the exorcism episode, which was really pretty good. And then this one was like season finale, and it just kind of falls flat.
Yeah, and that's a shame, because I think there's so much in this episode that works really, really well.
Yeah, the leap part and all of the 2022 stuff. The only part that I enjoyed was Addison getting them out of the mail, out of the thing and saying, feels good to be real.
Right.
That was a great line. But outside of that, like nothing in 2022 was at all compelling. I was just annoyed by being there for most of it. And God, what if in a Christmas wish, we come back from hiatus in January and Jen is like the little sister on Family Matters. She just walked away and
nobody ever mentions her again.
And she's just not on that show anymore.
Maybe her dad kidnaps her. He seems like kind of a dirtbag. Pretty fan servicey. I don't know if we're the only ones complaining about this.
That's true. Am I the only one that doesn't like this character? Tweet at me if I'm wrong. Anyway.
Speaking of that. Yeah, I think we're about ready to wrap up. When leaping through cyberspace, find us on Twitter, if you're still using that. I'm at Captain Burn. CaptainBern.
And I'm at Action Nate.
And as always, check out the Paprika feed for movie reviews. Should be a review up very soon for Wakanda Forever. Pop culture drafts, countless other hours of entertainment. Until next leap. I'm Brian.
And I'm Nate.
And we will be here in that weird electricity-covered mountain in the waiting room.
That's right, the time bubble.